What do you want to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
Welcome you into the last day of August. Meet me at Mutual. We're here at the postseason deadline of getting people on your roster, and we'll talk some about that here in a little bit. But I'm your host, Daniel Shoptaw. C70 is about at C70, and with me always is Alan Medlock of Red Dirt, Red Bird, and A Medlock 1 on Twitter. And before we get into all the stuff that's going on the field, and the Cardinals right now are up 7-5 after a really ugly inning against the Reds, but right now hopefully going to hold on to win here. Today, as we noted, is the last day you can have somebody, you have to have somebody in your organization if they're going to play in the playoffs for you, which means that there's a lot of waiver trades and stuff like that that go on. Cardinals were rumored to be in the mix for Josh Donaldson. Of course, it seems like anytime Josh Donaldson's name comes up, they're rumored to be involved. How accurate that is, I don't know. But the Cardinals wound up not claiming him, not trading for him, as the Indians got him. You know, Alan, on one side, you know, he's still doing rehab. He may not be ready for a week or two. On the other side, he's a former MVP that if he is close to his former self, can make a whole lot of impact in the playoffs.
Sure. I didn't know how I felt about that situation, and Wisdom just gained one of them run back.
There we go.
Solo home run. I didn't know how I felt about it. I thought that, you know, I had talked about this in several shows before, that that would be intriguing. I'm not certain that it's that, at this juncture, I'm not certain it's that big of an upgrade, that large of an upgrade over Jericho at this point, but we don't know how healthy Jericho is either, you know, especially in their situation where he could have been useful if healthy. Health being the biggest concern, you know, no one knows at this point where he's going to be. You know, he's only played two minor league rehab, you know, games. So it may be a couple of weeks before he's even ready regardless. I think everybody would have liked to have him just to have that other superstar, or a, you know, what some people would argue the only superstar in the lineup, but we don't know if that's the player we're going to get. And at this point, you're playing so well, why mess with the, if things are good, why change it up?
Yeah. And I think that's really what it boils down to some degree. I mean, we heard John Mozeliak, we talked about it some last week when they add in Matt Adams, and John Mozeliak basically said, hey, you know, this chemistry is working, and this chemistry is a kind of a thing that can go south kind of quickly. And I'm not saying that it would ruin the team or Josh Donaldson's a clubhouse cancer or anything like that, but, you know, when you try to figure out if you mesh with a person, if you don't mesh with a person, it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with either side. It just may not mesh. And, you know, how do you explaining the inside jokes and all that kind of stuff in the last few weeks? I mean, Josh Donaldson may not even know about salsa. I mean, I don't know. I mean, so I just think that, yeah, I think that's what boiled down to. Now, you can argue whether that should have played as much of a role as it may have, and I think that's fair. I mean, again, you know, it was a $4 million offer. You know, what's left of Donaldson's salary. And the Cardinals, you know, again, they have been tied to that, to him for so long. They have been interested in him. And if they wanted to make a run for him this offseason, you know, maybe getting him into St. Louis for a few weeks wouldn't hurt, for, you know, basically nothing. There's a lot of arguments for going out and doing that. But again, if you're looking at it because, hey, he's going to fill because Jerko's hurt and Wong is hurt, you know, Rob Reigns put it out there on Twitter. Look, those two guys might be both back before Donaldson's ready to go. And if that's the case, I mean, then you have to try to squeeze him into the lineup over people that have been producing and been playing on your team all year. And I just don't think John Mozeliak wanted to go that route.
I agree with you. And you know what? I'm as guilty as anybody on this, but I just feel like Jericho gets shortchanged on what he means to the team. Mm-hmm. Honestly, a lot of this run could have come, there's several factors, but the best team they put on the field is Jericho at third, Carpenter at first, Martinez and right, with Wong at second. I'm not saying that's even an option, you know what I mean, at this point. But, that's their best team, and I don't know why you mess with it, you know, if everybody's healthy. So they seem to be convinced that Jericho should be back relatively quickly. That's my only issue is, he's had 2 years of leg problems. You know, I just don't know how bad. But, you know, health seems to be the issue on both sides of the equation here.
Well, and it's been a tough week for the Cardinals. I mean, they did. They put Wong on the DL. They put Jerko on the DL like the next day. You know, in the game that Jerko got hurt, Munoz got hit by a pitch that we kind of got a little concerned about thinking they were going to hit him. Yeah. Matt Carpenter left because it turned out he was just nauseous, which is, you know, okay, but you know, when a guy walks off the field in the middle of an inning, you're like, what in the world's going on here? And I said, thankfully it wasn't anything major, but you know, for a while there, it looked like they were going to lose like their whole infield at one time, except for Paul DeYoung. So,
yeah.
It was pretty crazy. And so they've been lucky enough that at least those injuries seem to be injuries that are, fairly minor. Like there's a hope that they'll be back after the end of the 10 days. It sounds like there's better hope for Wong to do that than Jerko, but you know, you just never know. You know, so if you're getting those guys back, and again, right now, this team is rolling and this team is putting up, it's not like they're going out there and winning 2-1 ball games. I mean, they're still probably, I haven't looked lately, but I still thought they're probably still averaging around 5 runs a game. And, you know, can that be better? Sure. I mean, you could put Donaldson out there and he's a guy that could, if he's healthy in the playoffs, could just, you know, just be a dominant beast. But, you know, the Cardinals still have to get there too. And, you know, I don't know. I would not have been opposed to the Cardinals making that move, but I think I understand why they didn't.
Exactly. That's kind of how I feel. Yeah, it would have been intriguing just to see, just from what he has been in the past, but I'm not upset that they didn't do it. You know, I think, to me, it tells me that they're probably a little more confident in health than I really am overall. But, you know, yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of options to where they may want to get O'Neill in the lineup more, you know, cause I'm thinking that Ozuna's going to be back with them this weekend. And, you know, you're going to need O'Neill's bat in the lineup too, and that may push Martinez back to first, which we haven't seen much of. So there's definitely some options, and in the long run, I'm really, really not that upset that the deal didn't get done. I wasn't super confident that it probably would anyway.
I will say, from all the talk, I thought somebody would claim him, that the Cardinals wouldn't have a chance to get him. And not only that, you know, he went completely through waivers and nobody claimed him, which is, you know, again, $4 million, $4.5 million. For some teams, that's a lot. The Cardinals, it shouldn't have been that big of an issue. And I'm a little surprised that when they had the chance that they didn't claim him and then try to, you know, work out some deal with Toronto or whatever, but they let him go. And, you know, once they did that, I think it was pretty obvious. Once he cleared waivers, they probably weren't going to try to get him because there was no downside, I don't think, for them to claim him. See if they can get Toronto to negotiate something, and at worst, you take him on for $4 million and you don't give up anything, and, you know, see if you can't do that. I mean, given what you're still paying, mm-hmm. you know, as we talk about Greg Holland and all these other things.
Yeah.
It's, and even with all that, I think that payroll is I don't know for sure, but I feel like it's either not that much different than last year, so let's put it that way. And I think that there's
sure.
room that it could grow. So I don't think the money should have been an issue, but again, if you don't think he's going to be healthy enough to give you anything, then, and I think that seemed to be, according to Derek Goldenstein and some of the others, I think that was their biggest fear, is they didn't think he was going to be healthy enough. And as Derek pointed out, they've had a lot of issues with, you know, veterans and issue and health issues, and they've been burned a lot. They didn't want to be burned again. Like you said, speaking of a guy that had health issues even when they got him, Marcell Ozuna looks like he'll be back this weekend. I don't know if he'll be back. I can't remember if it's Saturday or whenever the 10 days are up. But
yeah.
I feel like they're kind of limit him for a little bit. And so that may mean, like I said, you still get to have the Martinez, Bader, O'Neill outfield for a while. But when he's ready to play, or when they start putting him out there, I mean, who gets the short end of the stick?
I would think it's going to be O'Neill for the most part. There'll have to be some mix and match involved. That's who I personally think it should be, and that's who I feel like will probably get the most. I mean, we know we have a pretty good idea what we have in Bader, and that's on both sides of the ball. I don't think at this point you can say Martinez, because he just continues to hit. There's going to be an argument, but I like the lineup with Ozuna. You know, I understand that the power hadn't been where anybody thought it was, but he still hits. So, I don't know. I think you feel a little more complete with that. Now, you haven't missed much with O'Neill, if anything at all. And he, you know, he's went on one of his home run tears. And, you know, that's going to make up some of your offense on that. But, I mean, I think there's ways that you can get them all in. And yes, you could tell that they usually like about 7 innings of Martinez in right field.
Yeah.
So there's going to be other at bats for guys. But yeah, I mean, that's how I feel like it should go. And that's how I really think it probably will.
Yeah, probably. We'll see how long it takes. Cause I don't think they throw Ozuna right back into it, but you know,
that sounds like it. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
The next week or so. Now you're right. Tyler O'Neill's given this team some power, and he plays a solid defense.
He's better than I thought. I was kind of concerned about that from the beginning. That I was concerned about his movement, but he's really athletic, and he is a pretty good outfielder.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't. You know, you think of the hulking, bulky guy. You know, the guy that's going to hit the power that he has. You think it's going to be all, and he is, you know, obviously very muscular and everything like that, but he still moves well for anybody, but
sure.
Especially for a guy of his size, he's more fluid than you would think. So, and I mean, he can play some center field, so I mean, obviously he does have that for him. And just drew a walk too, it looks like. So, which is something that he has some trouble with.
Sure.
So that's nice to see. So the Cardinals have announced tomorrow that they're going to start their call-ups. They're bringing up Carson Kelly. They're bringing up Daniel Ponce de Leon. They're bringing up Tyler Webb. And they say that at least the plan right now is those are the only guys that come up until Memphis is done. Now, Memphis has kind of struggled a little bit since they clinched theirs, just because, I mean, golly, look at who all, you know, what they've got left. I mean,
yeah.
So it's not surprising. So we'll see how long they can make, that postseason run go. But I think it's kind of interesting, as somebody on Twitter pointed out, and it is kind of interesting, that Carson Kelly's getting called up. Because we've already seen that Francisco Pena doesn't play. I mean, Francisco Pena has, what, one start this month, I think? He has three at-bats this month, something like that. Maybe five, because he did have one game that he started, and then he had a couple others. So, say five. You know, you got Pena, who you're not using, and then you're going to bring up a third catcher, who you're going to... I mean, you know, maybe you'll pinch it with Kelly a little bit every once in a while, but it seems very unlikely in a pennant race that Yadier Molina's not going to be playing every day. So does this mean, as we see Andrew Kisner brought back up to Memphis, because where he was earlier this year when Carson Kelly was up in the major leagues, Kisner goes to Memphis. He's going to, assumedly, I don't think they'd want to run their team with Steve Barron as the main catcher. He's going to be playing through Memphis's postseason, while Kelly's probably going to sit a lot in St. Louis. Does this really kind of indicate that the Cardinals have Kisner as their top priority at catcher right now?
I don't know. I read a lot of those tweets today, and it's tough not to overthink that situation. You know, you're right, because, you know, it seems like Kelly's been around forever. Gosh, he's still so young. So you don't know. Now, I do think you've got to make a move on him one way or the other. Now, whether he's up with the big league club and you honestly do a, 70-30 share or something next year, something along those lines, or if he's with another organization, because you're really not benefiting anyone at this point. And I think that may be some of the plan. So to answer your question, I'm not real sure. I do think they are. I do believe they are pretty high on Kisner though, but I don't know what that necessarily means for Kelly. So I don't expect him to be with the organization next year, and I partially didn't think he'd be with the club this year. So yeah, I'm curious to see how that situation plays out.
Now, you know, obviously these are the only three catchers that are on the 40-man roster right now. It's mm-hmm. Pena, Molina, and Kelly. So it's not like, you know, if they hadn't had this issue earlier this year where they had brought Steve Barron up and then eventually, you know, released him off the 40-man. If he was still on the 40-man, you wonder if they would have brought him up and let Kelly stay in Memphis. But they really, I mean, I don't know. For me, I think it's like, oh, rosters are expanding, so we have to have three catchers, and not really thinking about the personnel that you have. Now, like I said, Mike Shildt may be doing things differently. Maybe we'll get to see Carson Kelly pinch hit a lot, but he's not going to start. I mean, we just know this. He may start once, maybe twice in September, unless the Cardinals somehow fall out of the
pinch. Yeah, exactly.
Obviously he's played enough at Memphis this year. It's not like it's a big deal, but it's just a little bit interesting to see them go that route. And like I said, I think they could have gone, I don't know, depending on how long Memphis goes, they could have gone a week or two with two catchers still. Because, you know, again, Francisco Pena's not going to play, so what does it matter? I don't know. I think that was a little bit interesting that they went with that move.
Yeah, that's Kelly is such an interesting situation, mainly just due to Molina. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. I mean, I'm sure he's a valuable commodity for someone. I mean, so it's almost to the point where you got to sell high. Does the club believe that they're going to expect a regression at some point, you know, from Molina? I really, it's a tough situation. It seems like he's just been dangling there for, you know, 3 years, but you know, like I said, he is still young, just that we've heard that name so much, yeah, I mean, the offseason could be very interesting as far as that situation goes.
Yeah, well, and I mean, Viva Alberto's had an article this week, and I started kind of putting together a graph, and we'll talk about it more as the season wraps up. But, you know, the 40-man roster is already tight, and it's going to get even tighter this offseason, so there's going to be some decisions that have to be made. And like I said, we'll get into those later on. But one of the decisions on that 40-man that has to be made fairly soon, most likely, is adding Adam Wainwright back. Adam Wainwright has pitched, very well in his rehab starts. There was some thought that he might go Sunday as the Cardinals start to squeeze in a sixth starter for the pitcher.
Position player alert. Position player on the mound alert.
There we go. Well, the,
sorry, go ahead.
As Alan and I started to show, the Reds had cut it to 7-5, and I said to him, well, you know, the Cardinals will probably go out and score three now that they haven't scored at all this game, you know, since the third. But now that the Reds have put up runs, it's like, oh, we get remembered, we can score it. And yeah, they go out and put five on the board. And we know singles and a couple more. So, yeah, that should be fun as Wisdom gets to come back up as they've batted her around, in this inning, it looks like. So, anyway, Adam Wainwright pitching well, probably going to have to be back soon, and they're going to have to find a place on the 40-man roster for him. You know, there was a thought that maybe they would put Michael Walker on the 60-day because Walker had some issues in his rehab, but it sounds like those were temporary. He's going to go back out and have another rehab start. So, and Alan, I'll bring this. I'll go ahead and get my little spreadsheet up here so I can look at this 40-man roster, but, you know, one, I guess, what do you expect out of Adam Wainwright, and two, how do we get to Adam Wainwright?
I think they're going to get creative on their innings limits, which they don't want to admit they have innings limits on the guys. I think that I think he's even surprised the club and maybe himself about how well he's bounced back. I think there's going to be a lot of pushback in the same sense that we spoke of Donaldson of, hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Mm. You know, but I think this is the one special situation where you could probably stretch it out to a six man or a hybrid six man rotation just to buy the, Just to bag some innings for some of these young arms who are all, I mean, including Michaelis, who are right up against career highs. So I like it, and I like the way that we'll get to see him make another start at Bush again, and things that I thought would honestly kind of be a symbolic start. But it sounds like some of them may be meaningful. I'm curious to see what he's got. I mean it. I probably have maybe even said otherwise in a recent podcast, but I'm kind of excited to see what he's got.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, he's not going to come out there and throw in mid-90s. He may have trouble hitting actually 90. It depends. He was hitting around that on some of the guns, but from what I understand, some of those guns were a little hot. But he was playing lesser competition, but I don't know that he gave up a run in, what, four starts in the minor leagues. So I think the longest one he had was five. And, you know, again, we like to think, we hope to think that Mike Schilt would treat him differently than maybe Mike Matheny would if out there. I mean, if Adam Wainwright's struggling in the third or the fourth, you know, Schilt's likely more likely to go get him maybe than Matheny was, especially in September with so many arms out in the bullpen. You know, and the fact that you're going with a steeper rotation, we're not expecting Adam Wainwright to give you. You may not even expect Adam Wainwright to give you five good innings. You know, if he can give you three or four, and see what happens. And so far, that looks like that's possible. I don't want to say too much, you know, get too far ahead of ourselves, but, you know, I don't, it does, the what we've seen in the last couple of weeks in the minors does not look like, at least in the results, and I haven't actually watched them, so I can't tell you if he looks like that in general, but nobody seems to be indicating that that's the case. Does not look like the Wainwright we saw before he went on the DL or last year. So again, do I expect him to come in and throw five scoreless innings all the time? No. But if he can keep you within two or three, you know, give you two or three runs in those time frame, you know, the way this offense is going right now and the bullpen is going pretty well, that could be enough to win a ball game. And you're talking about, what, three or four starts probably down in September, if that, even if he came in. And he's not pitching Sunday. Luke Weaver is. So it's going to be, you know, somewhere in that first week of September at the earliest when he comes in. So, yeah, maybe three, maybe four starts. I don't think that even with the fact that they're in the pennant race, I don't think that they can. It's not going to hurt them to let him at least get a shot at it.
Yeah, completely agree. And I'm looking forward to seeing it. And like I said, after watching how compromised he was in that San Diego start, you thought that there was just the mannerisms on the mound made it sound, seem like there was a little bit of finality to how that whole situation was wrapping itself up. To see him bounce back and to hear his voice last night to where he's optimistic about how things are going to go and you hear the club and you see the reports and, you know, now I'm pretty excited to see it. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how this situation comes to pass with him. And I'm excited to see it. I don't necessarily think I could have said that, you know, in May.
Yeah. I see Francisco Pena is going to get to play the ninth inning since they're up by seven. So
that, yeah, that means this is his appearance for 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's right. So, anyway, well, you look at the 40-man roster, though. Again, Adam Wainwright sitting on the 60-day DL does not count toward the 40-man. Once they activate him, obviously he's got to. And the 40-man is full right now. I mean, completely full. And you look at the names. There's just not a lot of names up here that even give you a whole lot of thought to get rid of them. You know what I'm saying? You got Darian Gonzalez, who's on here, that he's been hurt some this year. He's still kind of a young guy. Not necessarily somebody that they would want to cut, just to cut, because probably somebody would take him. You've got, you know, Connor Green, who has not had the best year, but, you know, again, they just got him, you know, from the Blue Jays. They'd probably want to stick with him for a little while.
I don't think you'd cut somebody that you're. Yeah, I mean, they're sending him to Arizona for the fall league.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Probably buys you. I mean, that probably says that probably speaks volumes of what they actually think of his, yeah. You know, his ability.
Yeah. So again, it doesn't have to be a pitcher, obviously. And the only hitter on our, you know, you're looking at Edmundo Sosa, who's had a fairly good year, and he's in Memphis right now. And one of the few middle infielders that's on the 40-man that's not already in the big leagues. You've got Justin Williams, who just came over in the Tommy Pham deal, so, you know, unlikely they want to get rid of him. You start looking at this, and you wonder if you're Matt Bowman, if your days are numbered. And I don't say that.
Yeah.
You know, it'd almost be too bad, because Bowman, for all his faults and how he was used, did contribute to this team some, well, maybe not as much this year.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd almost be disappointing for him to go out this way, to not have another chance to come back to the big leagues. And it'd be almost ironic given the fact that, you know, he spent 3 years in the big leagues before he got optioned down to Memphis and then, you know, never came back. But of course, one, it'd also be difficult to see him come back and not have the Matheny, I don't know what the word is, you know, mark of Matheny, I guess.
We brought that up a little bit last week. I hadn't thought of it that way, to be honest with you.
I mean, just because Bowman was such such a staple of what Mike Matheny did. I don't know. I mean, I don't know much about Gonzalez, so maybe that's the way they would go. But you look at this 40-man roster, and I said so many of these guys are either in the big leagues now or are going to be on this. I mean, once rosters expand, Darian Gonzalez doesn't come up. Giovanni Gallegos probably doesn't, but they just traded for him. Connor Green doesn't, but we've talked about him. Edmundo Sosa probably doesn't. Justin Williams might not. And those are the only guys on the 40-man that you're probably not going to have in St. Louis. And so there's just not, it doesn't feel like there's just a whole lot of options to get Adam Wainwright on here, except for maybe Matt Bowman.
Yeah, that's, we had spoken on that a little bit, and just how there's just no space for some of these guys. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, you're right. I mean, and that's, he has done a lot for the organization, but you just wonder if I think you're probably right that it's just that it's kind of run its course type situation, you know, and you pretty much called the sheriff deal, you know, and the next thing you know, I mean, he's released.
Yeah.
So yeah, it would be, that would be the low hanging fruit without a doubt.
Yeah. And again, and we'll get into it later. There are, I mean, like I said, you hear how tight that is. And then you realize that, you know, in this off season, granted, there's a few names that are going to come off, like, you know, Tyson Ross, Bud Norris, Matt Adams, Adam Wainwright. You know, there's four guys that are free agents, but there's three guys you have to add into the, back onto the roster from the 60-day, Gregerson, Fowler, Reyes, which would leave you one spot. And there's like seven or eight guys that are Rule 5 eligible that a number of those, two or three of those guys, you're probably going to want to protect. So, you know, granted there's trades, granted there's, you know, cutting people, there's there for things here and there, but I look at this 40 man, I don't see a lot of, you know, excess weight on here. So I feel like if they're going to find room for Ryan Helsley or Lane Thomas or Max Strock, Genesis Cabrera, guys like that, you know, on their roster, they're going to have to do some maneuvering this winter. Now, we've said that before and not necessarily seen it, but I just don't, I mean, they're bumping up at the edges and they don't have a lot of wiggle room.
No, I agree. And that's, I know it kind of, stinks to kind of look toward next year, especially with what we're going through right now to where it is, so exciting. But you're right. I had looked at that and there's going to be every year they're come where the comment is like last year, they pretty much turned over basically half of their 40 man. I don't think it would be that severe, but they're up against it with a lot of names. And it'll be interesting to see how all those guys fit into the equation. And I think this could be one of the off seasons to where we see a lot of moving and shaking of outside of the organization types, just because we have guys that are right up against their arbitration years and all kinds of, you know, that who they have to protect is going to be interesting. So yeah, I mean, there will be a lot of names flying around in the off season.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, you've got guys like Greg Garcia who are hitting arbitration that, you know, maybe a guy like Max Strock can do that
sure.
role or stuff like that, and maybe some things like that, which, you know, would be baseball, of course. It would be tough for Greg Garcia just because he's been with this team, and then about the time he starts to get paid, he may get cut, you know, and who knows where, if or when he would get another job.
Yeah, it's the business can be rough.
It can be. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. What can also be rough is playoff math. And the Cardinals, assuming they can hold on to a 7-5 lead. Nope, they did. Never mind.
Yeah, they did. They won.
Just finalized it. So, Cardinals now are 3.5 behind the Cubs for the division lead. They are a half a game ahead of the Brewers for the first wild card spot. They are, what, 2.5 ahead of the Rockies, 3 ahead of the Dodgers, as those two teams are playing right now out in the West Coast. We got into this conversation on Twitter yesterday, which was fairly depressing, but you know, Moz's algorithm can be that way at times. But you know, and we were talking about the fact that, you know, Cardinals are, you know, 3.5 out now, 4.5 at the time, with just 30 games to play, and you know, those numbers sound better, especially when the fact that they have the 3 games at the end of the season. And I think my contention was, this is a difficult thing. This is not something that's necessarily likely to happen, but it's not way out of the realm of possibility. Moz and John Doble were much more on the, this is really out of the realm of possibility type of things. While, you know, holding out that, so you're saying there's a chance, that's really about all they were going with. And there's, again, that's fair because, but I look at that Cubs schedule and, you know, maybe I have a negative opinion of the Cubs. They beat a lot of good teams, but I feel like that pitching staff is still kind of shaky. I was hoping the Braves would beat them last night. The Braves, you know, had a lead and lost it. You see them lose to the Phillies tonight. They've got some games with Arizona. They've got
They face Nola Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, you could gain possibly two games right away. Mm-hmm. And if you look at it, I mean, 2.5, which of course the half will be eliminated by the time we get there. They still have that series looming end of the year.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I mean,
I think the end of August, when they're playing as well as they are, it's tough to write off a team.
Yeah. And I mean, that is factoring it in, but you know, You look at last night. Cardinals win a nice game, but the Cubs do too. They stay 4.5 out, and all it does is cut a game off the calendar. You want to be within two, or, well, three for sure, but, you know, at least two, going into that last week of the season. Because if you're three back and you win all three, then you got to play them again.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be tied. And getting to that is a hard thing, because, you know, again, you're fortunate tonight that you got that game, but there's going to be nights in September where you lose and the Cubs win and you lose that game tomorrow on the way. So it is difficult. I get that. I don't know. And you know, if the Cardinals go in as a wild card, it's not the worst thing. You'd rather that than not go in at all. But the way they're playing, you know, but then again, that's kind of what we've said before. Sometimes winning 2 out of 3 is not enough, even though they have won 10 series in a row. Good start on 11th one tonight. You know, if you're not sweeping them, you got a chance to fall behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an unfortunate situation. And then it makes the first portion of the season when they were so bad that much more frustrating. You know, because we think about the games that we could take. You and I could probably pick 5 different games apiece where a bullpen was blown or a ball was kicked or whatnot, which would completely change the complexion of this. Which a Cubs fan could do the same thing,
probably. Yeah.
But they're in the driver's seat. The Cardinals aren't.
Well,
you know,
and just like the Cardinals, I mean, the Cubs have won. You know, the Cubs won that game against the Nationals with a walk-off grand slam. They won a game earlier this year on a walk-off grand slam by Jason Hayward. You know, they've got games like that. But then the Cardinals have got, you know, their two, you know, the two back-to-back walk-offs against the Cubs. A couple of these games that, you know, didn't think they had a chance, and they came back and rallied. So, yeah, I mean, there's some of that for every team. I don't know. I think that the Cubs are vulnerable. It may be that the Cardinals have dug themselves too much of a hole to get them there, but it's nice to go into September with at least, you know, some theoretical talking about, you know, I mean, you've got, you know, if that half game resolved the right way, you know, you're right there, 3 games. But again, expecting to sweep the Cubs at the end of the year at Wrigley Field is also a pretty big token, too.
Mm-hmm.
So,
very tough.
Yeah. Padres are beating the Rockies right now. Diamondbacks beating the Dodgers. So, it wouldn't be bad if those scores would have held up, although it's 1-0 and 2-1. They may not gain another game on those teams because the... You know, the farther you get, even if you're, you know, if you're jockeying with the Brewers for a while, that's one thing, because you still got 3 games with them. But, you know, if you're jockeying between 1 and 2 in the wild card race, you know, at worst you go to their place instead of your place for the 1-game playoff. It's not ideal, but it's not the worst thing in the world. You know, if you can push, as long as you don't have to jockey for 3 or 4 teams, you push those 2 teams 3-4 games behind you, you start looking at, you know, just focusing on the Brewers instead of worrying about them too.
Exactly. That's kind of like we were talking about a little bit earlier. It's you want to see some room, a little bit of separation at this point, just because there are so many teams. Now the division races are crazy, but the Central is just kind of running away with maybe the 3 top records in the National League. You know, they're all going to vie for it. So yeah, it's, some separation would be nice. You can maybe get a little bit of breathing room to where you don't feel like you have to, you know, go out and sweep those series just because you're pretty comfortable knowing that you're in. You know, I think teams have gotten more comfortable with the one game, you know, roll of the dice, but you're in, and we've seen a lot of those teams make serious runs. So yeah, it's, kind of like we had talked about. I felt like all along that the West is going to beat each other up. You know, that you're going to be able to gain ground on somebody. I still think that the two top teams in the East are going to hit a wall. But at this point now, it may be all for naught, because a lot of teams get past that Labor Day and they get that second wind still with the end in sight. So, you know, I think there's a lot of baseball to be played, but I think they're in a really good spot right now. Just kind of stinks that even if you are to get into that one game playoff, the only teams that you may play are central teams the rest of the way out, unless you can get out of that first round.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You may not play, well, and again, it's, you know, it's just like 2015. Except the Cardinals were on the top side of that, you know, when they won 100 and the Pirates won 97 and the Cubs won 96, and I don't remember what the other divisions were, but they weren't that high. You know, those two teams would have won the other division and instead they'd have that one game playoff.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, then the Cubs beat them and beat the Cardinals, and, you know, so maybe the Cardinals can do the same thing this year. You know, one game is scary, but the Cardinals do have, you know, if you're going up against the Brewers, especially if the Brewers don't get a chance to try to line up any kind of pitching, you know, there's a shot in the dark on whoever they're going to have, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they just went out and got Gio Gonzalez today, which will help, probably. But they're, you know, that's their Achilles heel, is especially starting pitching, but even the bullpen's been kind of iffy since, for a while. So if you can line it up, you know, where either Flaherty or Michaelis goes for that first game, or goes in that game, versus whoever the Brewers have, you gotta like your chances, I think.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, and that's the thing where the team that we're seeing right now, and hopefully it doesn't change our mindset by having a subpar September, but I'm pretty confident to get it with them against anybody. You know, I think the Cubs may still be a better team, but I desperately want to see this Cardinals pitching staff in a playoff.
Yeah.
Because I think that, I think they're really good, and that's, and you pitch, you win. So that's, I don't know. It's tough. I keep thinking, you know, we're not even in September yet in theory. So it's tough to kind of count your chickens, to be honest. But it's pretty tough to see that they're just a different ball club right now.
Yeah. And I mean, you get that feel that, well, I mean, you know, look, they've won 10 series in a row, and I'd have to look, but I think except the Pittsburgh game is the Pittsburgh series back at the beginning of August is the only one they dropped the first game to. They always seem to get out on the right foot. But it does feel like this team is a team that they're going to go out there and they're going to win 3 of 5. They're going to win 4 of 7. Because, you know, you line up your rotation. You know, if it's Michaelis, if it's Flaherty, and then, who knows? I mean, you wanted to see Walker there, but I'm not sure Walker's going to be healthy enough to get enough starts to really feel confident there. See, but you could have a Gomber, especially in the second round where they really need 4. And we've seen him pitch well. We've seen John Gant pitch well.
Completely agree.
You know, and again, it's not, you know, you're not going to have the 25 man or the 40 man roster that you're going to have in September, but you're still going to have what you've got now. You're going to have Dakota Hudson. You're going to have guys like Ponce de Leon. You're going to have Luke Weaver. You might have Adam Wainwright. You might have Michael Walker. You could have guys like that in the bullpen. So if the starter goes 3 and runs into a bit of a trouble in the 4th, you don't have to hesitate. You don't have to try to get him through that. You can make the move right then, get a guy that's going to pitch you 2 or 3 innings more, and not ruin your bullpen for the next day. And that's got to be a huge advantage, I feel like. And I mean, that's what we saw, 2011 is basically, it wasn't because Tony La Russa necessarily had those kind of arms, but he played it that way. I don't remember what was that divisional series against the Brewers, I think. No starter made it through like the fifth inning, I don't think. He got the hook and third inning, if there was a spot, he did it. And it worked. I guess if the phrase managed like your hair's on fire. True. Sure doesn't have much of that to this. I don't know if that works, but, yeah. I don't know. I just kind of feel like this team is built for that kind of thing. Now, they run into good pitching and then they get shut down and who knows, they beat the Brewers, wind up having a good day and they beat you and you're out. But the way this team is constructed right now, I feel like they can take on at least anybody in the National League, and we'll see about the American League if we get there.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. I think that they've completely lined themselves up to be really tough for that very situation. They could be three inning stints, the whole series. It'll be pretty interesting to see how it plays out, and I'd really love to see it.
Yeah, would too, and hopefully we'll get there. We've seen good pitching this week. We've seen Carlos Martinez really come out of the bullpen, and
what a weapon
that is. I mean, we have seen him, and I know we talked about maybe seeing him in one or two inning spurts, but with so many other arms that can do that, I kind of like the way they've used Carlos to come in, and be the guy that can, put out a rally or shut down something that's starting to brew. He may only throw only got one out, but key out that made sure that the Pirates didn't, get some runs on the board. He's looked pretty good coming out of the bullpen.
Yeah, it seems there is it's a lack of uptight, demeanor, it feels like to me. He's had a couple of times that he's got him out of some jams that I thought was pretty impressive. And, I always loved him as a reliever anyway. It was one of those when they first said that he was going to be a reliever, I kind of told myself, I just can't imagine that if he's on your roster, that he doesn't start a game in a playoff series. But, look what Lincecum did for the Giants right here. I mean, I could see it being something that impressive for him to do, to come out and put out some major fires. He's just a huge weapon.
Yeah, I like it. I like what we're seeing out of that. And I think that's what I know Rusty wrote an article this week at the Conclave about the bullpen and about being priests in strikeouts, because, you and I were talking, and I like Dakota Hudson, but I'm not overly enamored with him coming into some of the situations that he comes in, because I don't think he's got that strikeout pitch. He hasn't shown it. I mean, he struck out a decent number of batters in the major leagues, but they kind of come in clumps. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, that pitch to contact thing, I mean, it works, and again I think he's especially as a as a long reliever, he's fine, but when you've got runners on, I don't think that's when I want to see him come in.
Well, and Dan and Ricky last night were talking a lot about a lot of his trouble starts after he's got the first two outs. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of gets a little shaky after that, so I don't know what that says. But yeah, the lack of strikeouts has seemed to be a major issue. I heard today that he did strike out enough, or I don't know if that's the right word, in Memphis, Springfield, Memphis, that they feel like that will translate at some point. But you're right. I mean, it hasn't yet, and I know they like the ground ball ability, and I mean, he's done well. I mean, he's another weapon that to have out there. But yeah, there have been some shaky outings. One being Colorado, of course, which they got to everybody. But last night was a little bit rough as well. I hear you. I think there's probably some concern inside the clubhouse as well.
Yeah, I think so. So getting Carlos Martinez, a guy that can do that, can get that strikeout, that can come in there and just dominate, is good. Because there's not, we've talked about Jordan Hicks a lot, and we know Jordan Hicks can throw 1 million miles an hour or whatever it may be. He's got, and there are nights where Jordan Hicks just comes. I mean, we saw him in the Dodgers. We saw it a couple times. He'll just come in and just be on. You know, he'll have everything working. He'll be able to throw it for strikes, and the batters just don't have a chance. But those nights are fairly few and far between, and we see more like the last couple of nights where he's puts a runner on because of a walk or a couple walks, and he gives up a hit, and you know, maybe he gets a strikeout in there somewhere, and you know, maybe he gets out of the jam and it doesn't do any damage. But you know, like last night, I think that's when they brought in somebody in to get him out of that jam, didn't they? Maybe I miss. There were a lot of people that couldn't get out of jams last night. I can't quite remember, but I don't necessarily have that overwhelming confidence when Jordan Hicks comes in anymore. You know, maybe that's because you know he's starting to get fatigued because it's a long season, and maybe it's just because you know the league's kind of figuring out how to wait on his pitches. I don't know. And there, like I said, there are nights where he's just amazing, and you just wish there were more of them.
Yeah, that's, I worry about a lot of the young arms that have been up a lot this season. You know, I thought you pointed out, about Myers maybe, hitting a wall. You see a little lack of, velocity and they make a quick move on that. So, yeah, I agree that, I love the shakedown of how they can go from the back end of Norris to Hicks and really be effective on that. And when you're right. Whenever he's on, he's on. I mean, he was really impressive, you know, the last few nights and several nights in that, or the Dodgers series and in the Pittsburgh series. But then he has the nights like tonight, which is kind of a merry-go-round a little bit, and it gets a little worrisome. So yeah, that's definitely something to keep an eye on. Now the velocity was really there tonight. He was really pumping, but you know, the movement was, he was off. I mean, I felt like he kind of got bailed out on, the Suarez last at bat. It's definitely something to keep an eye on. There's really not another option, so I hope that we're both wrong.
Yeah, and I mean, for the most part, he gets it done. I mean, it may not be pretty, like say tonight, you know, wind up loading the bases before Suarez grounded out. You know, even last night, like I said, it may not be as efficient as we'd like. It may not be as dominant as we'd like, but most of the time, you know, he gets the job done. But I don't know. You get into the playoffs, and if he's got a night where, you know, he's walking a couple batters, those teams are going to take advantage of that most likely. Mm-hmm. And that's what's concerning. So, I don't know. I think that's just a thing to watch, and I hope, you know, we talk a lot about Mike Shildt having that quick hook, but I don't know that we've seen that as much in the last little bit. Not that we've had to. I mean, it's not like there's been a whole lot of opportunities for that. And maybe, you know, like I say, last night when I think it seemed like every reliever that came out there got in a trouble with two outs and they'd go to get somebody else to get the last out. I just don't know that we've seen that quick hook, you know, like we did that first couple games with, you know, Michaelis and everything like that. Like I said, maybe it's just not been the situation, but I think sometimes we think, oh yeah, Mike Shildt's the guy that'll do this, and well, he may have done it once or twice, but you know, is he still doing it?
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like it may need to look into that. I'm not real sure. It does seem like he's kind of sticking with some guys a little longer than most, but it's flat off the top of my head.
Yeah, and speaking of sticking to guys, of course that's the topic of Twitter for quite some time is Greg Garcia. we talked a little bit about Greg earlier, but it is with Colton Wong out, it is a little surprising that the Cardinals haven't gone to, you know, Patrick Wisdom playing third base and Munoz playing second base. And instead, they've done a lot of Greg Garcia at second base and maybe Munoz at third. I don't know. Like I said, Schilt's pretty good with analytics. He's pretty good with all this other stuff. I'm not really sure what the numbers or what the thought process is. Because Greg Garcia is a fine bench player, I think. I think, you know, like I said, people have talked about it. And, you know, if you're looking at Greg Garcia as your 25th man, you're doing pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't necessarily mean he needs to be starting. And so, I don't know. What do you think?
Well, that's one of those situations where we may not know, you know, what the situation is in the clubhouse and how fresh guys are and you know where I'm going with that. I mean, there's a lot that we can read into that. I was surprised though when I did see the stats about how much Garcia has played as under Schilt as opposed to Matheny, and it was pretty substantial in Schilt's favor. Now, I do know that he's widely regarded as a clubhouse guy. Garcia is, and he and Schilt just might be close, and Schilt may feel comfortable with him in this role, you know, for the time that Wong's out. You know, there could be several factors involved. I am not as adamant about it as maybe the majority of the Twitter, Facebook follows and such. I do agree with you. I think he's really good in his role as a pinch hitter, you know, and he's a great guy off the bench, but he does get exposed quickly.
Yeah.
But I just don't know. I think there may be more to it than we know about the playing time that, cause I'm surprised as well when he is in the lineup as frequently as he is.
Yeah. I mean, Schilt obviously dealt with probably Garcia in the minor leagues more than he's dealt with some others like Wisdom or whatever, but yeah, I wouldn't expect that. So I don't know. I think it's interesting. We'll see kind of how the next few days go. You know, I'm not sure when Wong's available to come back. I think probably middle of the week. And hopefully he'll be ready to go, at the end of the 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Wong has brought a spark to this team too.
I mean, oh, yeah.
That the defense especially, but he's been hitting as of late too. And, you know, I saw Dennis Lawson had a thing that said, you know, the count of plays that Colton Wong would have made this week is up to 4. Cause Garcia, you know, didn't get one tonight that Wong probably would have. And that can be a big deal.
Yeah, completely agree. It's, you realize, I think we underestimated how great of a defensive second baseman Wong was, and now I think that you see how great he is when you miss him when he's out. You know, there's a lot of plays that aren't made, or, you know, and that's the thing is I really like Munoz, but, you know, it's not, I don't feel like second base is his best position either. You know what I mean? He kind of a bigger, bulkier guy. He had a really strong arm and kind of a miscast out there. But back to Wong, he's made such a difference defensively this year. I mean, that's inserting him in every day, and Bader has made a huge difference. And it's all up the middle, which that's where I build my baseball team, is up the middle defense. And, you know, I think that he's sorely missed, and I think that the confidence has bled over to the offensive side.
Yeah, I think so. And again, just getting a chance to play every day. I mean, and the confidence. And I think that's the interesting, because we heard that a couple times this week. Harrison Bader had a comment in one article about not, you know, playing with your one eye over your shoulder is just not the way to play, or something of that nature. And then last night, and I missed it, but Tara Wellman sent me a bit of the gist of it. It sounded like Adam Wainwright was basically talking about people not buying into the old regime, if you will. I think that's where the culture has changed the most. That may be the most important thing, is that everybody's really on the same page.
Yeah, that's a great point. There's obviously something that kickstarted the club, and it did happen right after the change in dugout hierarchy. Now, like I said, the pressure valve just may have been released. I kind of felt like that was the situation post La Russa as well. You know, that Matheny kind of played with the house money a little bit just because the guys could be themselves a little bit more. But, you know, may have just run its course, but there's no doubt they're playing free.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. I think that they're, it's a close knit. It's a team that's going to work together, and we'll see how some of these guys coming back, how that affects them. But, you know, I think they added in, Cecil's been kind of, you know, a little bit hit and miss, especially, you know, he's struggled a little bit tonight, struggled out in Colorado, had a good game in the middle. It doesn't seem to have been an impact to things. You know, adding Matt Adams has helped, even though Adams hasn't done a lot on the field yet. Well, he had a good night tonight, I think. You know, this is a club that seems to be doing everything it needs to do. And that's why they won 10 series in a row. And, you know, it's kind of baffling to me. You think that. You think, hey, you know, these teams, they're good. They win all the time, blah, 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 blah. But to think nobody else has won 10 series in a row this year. Nobody else has done that in a while. You know, Cardinals have only done it twice in their career, in their history. And, you know, I think some of that's because a lot of times you get those four games series which split, but the Cardinals have played what, 2 4 game series in this run, and won both of them. It's pretty impressive to see them just continuing to pile up and just to know where they were at the beginning of this and see where they're at now.
Yeah, it's incredible to see the change of personnel that it's got. Kind of led to this. I mean, it's a whole nother team. I mean, that's what, you know, Danny Mac said on the Scoops podcast, that he had talked to a scout who basically said, hey, I had to throw away all my scouting reports at this point. They're just a different ball club.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, when you look at things like fan graphs, and they say what 65%, or at least it was today, chance of getting into the playoffs. You know, that's factoring in that what the team looked like earlier in the year too. And, you know, I'm not saying that it won't happen, obviously, because these margins are thin right now. But it seems really hard for me to see this team just falling apart down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at worst, if they miss the playoffs, it's because they're going to have a couple games, you know, like last night's game. You know, they split the first two games, Pittsburgh. Maybe that game goes the wrong way and they lose 2 out of 3. You know, that kind of stuff. While everybody else is winning. But I don't see this team going into a big old tailspin, because it just feels like it's got too much going for it.
Yeah, and it's all the components are playing well. You know, that's you don't feel like there's a necessarily weak link, which I felt like the bullpen was for a good majority of that first half of the season, if not the whole first half of the season. There's times that the bats would go silent, but it was exposed because they were usually playing from behind after losing a lead.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, again, you know, we've had this discussion somewhat this week, because I guess we probably ought to mention the fact that, you know, Mike Schilt became manager of the Cardinals, not interim manager of the Cardinals this week. Which is probably one of the bigger news stories, and here we are throwing an hour after we've gotten
it. It seemed like such a foregone conclusion, though, after a while.
Yeah, I mean, you don't even think about it. But, you know, there are some people that argue that, you know, maybe it's not Schilt, that it was, you know, the bullpen changeover, this and that. And there's some truth to that part. I mean, if Mike Schilt was still had Greg Holland and Tyler Lyons, as much as I love him, out there in the bullpen, and if he still had to play Dexter Fowler every day and all this, you know, no, they probably wouldn't have won 10 series in a row. They probably wouldn't be back in the playoff race. So, I mean, there's other factors, but being able to get this team excited again, I mean, that's a huge aspect of what this run is about.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's You're right. I don't know if it was just necessarily a change of mindset or just the shifting, but you know, I agree with you. I mean, that's all these things kind of coming together. There's been a lot of right decisions made. You know, it's tough for me not to think that had a major part of it. But yeah, I mean, you're basically handed a new staff as well, and there's adversity. I mean, you have to overcome a lot of those situations. But yeah, it's fun to watch. I give Schilt a lot of credit. I think there's a lot of cohesiveness between the coaching staff now too, that I'm not so certain was there, just because I felt like there was a cloud with Okendo. Felt like we probably weren't seeing the best of Maddox. You know, I've said this forever. I don't want to blame all this on Matheny, but the message may have run its course. And as Bernie says, the guys were just stressed out. He said he just stressed everybody out, and it was tough to play. And it go back to the Wong comment that it was tough to play while looking over your shoulder the whole time. So, yeah. You know, it's really fun to watch, and I'm just kind of ready. You know, I think we're all just kind of ready to move on from that situation.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, like I said, it doesn't do us any good to rehash it all the time. So, you know, that's, and again, this the style that we're seeing is exciting, and you just kind of hope that it continues. So, Cardinals, let's see, the Cardinals have the, you know, they finished up with the Reds this week, and then what is it? They go to Washington.
Washington, their last four gamer in Washington, and then finish off the week in Detroit.
Yep. So, actually, no, it's a three gamer in Washington. They have the off day on Thursday.
For some reason, I was thinking it was four.
Nope, you got three there. So,
you're right. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, you look at that.
You know, the last four is against the Dodgers. Sorry, I was
week off. So, yeah. You know, that's, if you're going to make up some ground, you know, that's not a bad time to do it. The Nationals are obviously, they're still a decent team, but they're not a great team, or at least not playing like a great team.
Giving away assets as well. I mean, if that right. says anything.
I mean, they've lost Murphy, they've lost Adams, they've not lost Gonzalez, they lost Ryan Madsen, a lot of pieces. And then you start thinking, you know, the call-ups will be up, you know, and some of these teams, you know, go start playing some of those call-ups, you know, especially the guys like Cincinnati, Detroit, maybe even Washington. If they've got prospects they want to see, and I don't know that Washington, I don't know what Washington has. Don't know what any of the other guys do either, honestly, but, you know, if they've got guys they want to see, that you may be seeing those, and you may be seeing guys that are not. And I mean, that's always the argument against September baseball, is it's a little bit different. It's a little bit, you know, it's the most important month, and you're seeing all these expanded rosters and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's, there's some merit to that.
Fair argument. Point. Yeah, but I agree with you.
But, you know, for the teams that are competing, it's good, a good reinforcement to have. And again, if you wanted to do what I've seen proposed a lot of times where, you have like, you can bring up 40, but you can only designate 30 for one game, you know. You know, 10 guys are off limits, for that game, and you can switch it around. You know, that's one thing. Because, you know, there are times where you're playing, like the Cardinals, they'll be playing, what, 28 tomorrow? I don't know what the Reds are calling up, but the Reds could be at 30, 32, you know.
Yeah.
Could that make a difference? Maybe. Probably not. Hopefully not. But, yeah. You know, in a close game, when you get down to playing the Dodgers, you know, that extra player could be a benefit. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
I get that. But I do like to be able to see, especially the years when you're not in it, getting a chance to see some of these young guys and seeing what they do. And then for years that you are in it, like now, to have that little extra, you know, a little extra cushion, that little extra help to get you through.
Yeah.
So, you know, cause it's a long season, and you look at these arms, especially now, like we're talking about, you know, they're going to that six man rotation to kind of ease Flaherty, but and all this other stuff, being able to manage those guys that aren't necessarily used to pitching that deep into the season, it's going to be a big deal. So, Reds, Nationals, Tigers, you like your chances, but baseball's baseball, so we'll see how.
Yeah, 100%. Completely agree. Try not to count those chickens.
That's right. That's right. You know, the last couple of weeks, you know, we've been kind of fortunate with that road trip, and then, you know, this week we said they needed to win, what, you know, four or five of this week, after we recorded last week, and, you know, they won two or three against Rockies.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Pirates, and, you know, they've won their first one here against the Reds. You know, every time we start thinking that they're going to hit a bump somewhere, they haven't done it. They probably will, but they haven't yet, so we can keep open.
Yeah.
Alan and I will be with you next week, and we'll talk about this end of this Red Series. We'll talk about this road trip that the Cardinals will be on at the time, and hopefully we're talking about a team that's even closer to first place than they are tonight. So until then, that's Alan, and I'm Daniel. Good night.
Good night.
Suter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's a winner! That's a winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!